Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, including these great specials between now and Tuesday. Yingling Lager and Lager Light 24-pack cans, just $14.95. Moosehead 12-pack bottles, just $10.99. Rolling Rock 7-ounce 24-pack bottles, $13.95. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar led by the Dills and the Barrels, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. In a moment, Bob Nightingale of USA Today. But first, our play-by-play call of the day. The Braves snap the Dodgers' 11-game winning streak.
Driven left field and deep toward the corner, chasing Taylor at the wall. It is gone! Kurt Suzuki with a two-run home run. And it's 5-1 Braves.
Ended up winning the game 6-3 to snap the Dodgers' 11-game win streak. The Dodgers still have won 30 of their last 35 games. And with that, we bring in the outstanding Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Bob, welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Sure, thank you.
Well, I want to talk about the Dodgers, first of all, and get rolling with that. They've obviously been flying through this thing. When you look at the elements, what makes the Dodgers, in your opinion, so good at this stage?
Just so much depth. You know, they have a, if they could, they could use 35 guys on that 25-man roster. But just they can recover from injuries. They built up that farm system. And they spent a lot of money at first, but they haven't been doing it since. And they've retained all their prospects. So just a great job of scouting development.
The Cubs, of course, every season and every team takes on its own personality. That's something a lot of people, if you're around sports every day, you know that. If you're not, you don't quite know that. When you look at the Cubs this year, what are a couple of elements within the structure of what they have that's caused them to skid the way they have as opposed to last year when things were flying along?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing high now since the break, but the starting pitching has been terrible. Outside John Lester, they also kind of regressed. Position players kind of took a step back. But with the pitching, they just couldn't, maintain a winning streak or anything else. You know, now that pitching's come together, now they got Quintana from the White Sox. If they hadn't got Quintana, I think they'd be in real trouble. Now I think they should be fine.
They've also now, they're leading 3-2 in the game they're playing in right now, which if they were to get it, would be their seventh consecutive win. Are you starting to see something with them, that some elements that are coming together at this point, or is it still tenuous?
No, it's really coming together. I mean, you see what a, since they got Quintana, that really boosted things up. They've been undefeated since the All-Star break. So now this is a Cubs, you know, that we've seen the last couple of years. And no reason it won't continue. You know, they won't be the favorites to win the World Series again. At least they'll get in the dance and see what happens.
All right, I want to ask you about the Pirates, because the Pirates have come out of the break. They took 2 out of 3 from the Cardinals. They swept the Brewers. They've been able to get back to 500. Now they're 3 back. How tough a spot is this for Neil Huntington to decide, am I a buyer or a seller? How much more of a body of work do you think he needs to make that determination?
Well, it should be really easy now. I mean, the way they're playing and everything else, you gotta buy. If nothing else, stay pat. There's no way in the world you can sell without the fan, alienating the fan base and going ballistic. So this is a good team. You talk to scouts and executives. Hey, they have a chance to win the NL Central, if not a wild card spot. But yeah, too good of a team to take pieces away. They gotta go for this thing.
We talk about people acquiring pieces as they go along. The Pirates reacquired a piece. He won't be eligible for the postseason. But what do you feel that the reacquisition of Starling Marte can mean for them over the next 80 games?
Oh, I think it's huge. I mean, you know, we all know what kind of talent he has, and he's the type of guy who can kind of carry a team you know, to the postseason. So yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. He can't participate in the postseason since the PED suspension. They can certainly help lead him there. That was a big pickup, and you know, this team is loaded right now. Everything's going well. There's no reason why they won't be in there until the bitter end.
I want to ask you now about what the Yankees did with Frazier. In your opinion, how much of it was the Yankees acquiring a guy that's a quality bat and a quality player in Todd Frazier, and how much of it was it maybe to keep him away from the Red Sox?
Well, here, you know, the Red Sox had interest, but not as strong interest as people were making out to be. You know, he was only hitting 207. Yeah, he had 16 home runs, but there's other third basemen out there. I think the Red Sox now will go after Eduardo Nunez of the San Francisco Giants. But yeah, I mean, it's a nice bet to have, you know, low cost. You know, what's it going to cost, you know, a good prospect? Just took on the money instead. You know, and the big thing is they were able to get the two bullpen pieces. So, you know, particularly Robertson. I think they have a chance to make the playoffs this year. Realistically, I think they're starting pitching short. It won't work for them. But, you know, those guys will be back next year, too. So they're under contract. So it should make them at least a contender in 2018.
I've already mentioned the Dodgers. What have you thought about what the Diamondbacks and the Rockies have done this year?
You know, fabulous job. Both are playing so well. You wonder if they'll both, you know, beat each other up down the stretch where only one of them get in with the Dodgers. The Diamondbacks, this was supposed to do a year ago, fell flat in their face. It didn't work. You know, now they're a very good team, powerful offense, particularly by getting J.D. Martinez. And the Rockies, you know, and they're going to be around for quite a while now. They've had four rookies in that rotation. Should be a fabulous team for years to come. So whether they make it or not this year, they're going to only get better here in the next few years.
I know there's been some talk about Garcia maybe going to the Twins, but I guess he's going to start tonight for the Braves. What about him? And then what about Justin Verlander with the trade deadline coming up?
Yeah, I mean, Garcia's never pitched in the American League. You know, it wouldn't cost much. I mean, it's such a cheap acquisition, whoever wants to get him. Obviously the rumors yesterday were a little got carried away. People had him already traded there. It never happened. With Verlander, same type of thing. You're not only taking on a big contract, but you got to give up prospects too. So, you know, Houston looked into it a little bit. The Cubs are kind of in the peripheral looking there. They'll take on most of the money, if not all of it, but they don't want to give up top prospects too. So I think he's traded. It's not going to be until this winter.
The White Sox, during all of this, have dealt Sale to get prospects from the Red Sox. They dealt Quintana to the Cubs. They dealt Frazier, all getting prospects and all highly rated prospects in organizations. What's your thought on what the White Sox are doing, Bob?
No, they've done a fabulous rebuild job, you know, tremendous. And they saw it working across town in Chicago. They saw it in Houston. You know, and now they're set. I mean, there's no reason why they, can't be a contender, you know, summer of 2019, at least 2020. They went the complete rebuild. And you know what? We were tired of just being admired in mediocrity. So one way or the other, they already tried the others. Now they're trying the other direction.
Now, around here, of course, there are a lot of Philly fans around here. It has not been a good year. It doesn't take a genius to say that. But they've rebuilt their farm system. Do you see any pieces that Philadelphia has in the veteran group that could be dealt to add more prospects to the table?
Well, certainly Howie Kendrick, I would think, would bring some. A couple of their starting pitching. So you're not going to get a ton for those guys, but you will be able to help the rebuild by doing that. So, it's taken a longer time than people thought with the process. You know, and they're still in the right course. They got a lot of money. I think they're going to have to hit the free agency big to make this thing work.
That's a good point. I want to ask you about analytics for a moment. How important have analytics become to your job, if they have? And if so, which ones do you put more credence in than others?
You know, it's probably more the jobs of the general managers, the general managers and everything else. You still you know, you look at on-base percentage now, and, you know, OPS, the on-base plus slugging percentage, you know, more than ever. You know, the batting average has been diminished a little bit. You know, it's all, you know, strikeouts or walks. So that part, you know, the batting average, you used to always know, hey, who's the batting champion? It was, used to be such a huge thing. You know, now you got a, you know, the guy in the LA, Justin Turner, you know, his batting average is about, you know, 30, 40 points higher than everybody else, and nobody's paying attention to it, which is, you know, very strange to me. You know, it used to be, hey, how many batting titles, you know, Tony Gwynn going to win, and Rod Carew, nobody pays attention anymore.
Right. No, exactly right. I mean, it used to be 20-game winners, batting title, home run title, and that meant a big deal to guys in our era growing up through this. That's what it meant. Now it's war and things like that, which some of it I really like, and then there are a couple parts I have trouble wrapping my arms around.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's fun. You don't win things for OPS and stuff like that. And I think, you know, people, I hate when people try to diminish wins for starters. I mean, wins for starters are huge. I remember someone asked Greg Maddux at a Hall of Fame induction press conference a couple years ago. You also agree that wins are overrated. And he kind of lowered his glasses and said, you got to be kidding me. Wins mean everything to a starting pitcher. So, you know, it shows you're outlasting the other guy. You know, and you can have all the analytics and several metrics you want. You can't measure a guy's, you know, heart and what he means to the clubhouse.
Yeah, and a guy like Maddux, for example, he would not only get wins. If a starting pitcher's eating up a lot of innings, which then in turn, over the long haul, saves bullpen innings, which saves bullpen arms, normally they're going to be winning those games anyway, and it does the club a lot of good. There's the domino effect to it that I'm not so sure is brought up as often.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's the beauty about Quintana, and I think people realize that, hey, he's not Chris Sale. But this guy's gone over 200 innings four straight years now, at least 32 starts a year. Eats up those innings. You know, Lance Lynn, who the Cardinals will trade soon, I mean, he's a big innings eater. Those guys are viable. You know, you don't want to get to 100 pitches and dip out after five innings, where I think sometimes a guy like Yu Darvish gets overrated. Yeah, he's got great stuff. You know, but go eight or nine innings, you know, once in a while.
You and I, of course, love the game. Terry Francona obviously loves the game, but he's had to go through a health scare and all this. But you wrote something really interesting about the fact that, you know, the game can eat him up, but he loves the game too much to leave the game.
Yeah, I mean, probably for his best health, it would be, you know, walk away from the game or take a different position, like a special assistant or something like that. But, you know, it kills him more being away from the game than actually working it. So just it means that much to him. You know, Bruce Bochy's had health scares. He's had a heart attack. Dusty Baker's had a stroke. But these guys love the game so much that they just can't, you know, it's worth the health risk to keep going. And I think just that's how much, you know, baseball is in the blood of so many people that, you know, they'll sacrifice, you know, some of their health, if not, you know, take away some months of their life, you know, for baseball.
Part of being really good at anything, in my opinion, is that you have to be passionate about it. What is it about you going to a ballpark that makes you passionate about your job?
Yeah, no, great question. The people. You know, I like the game, but I love the people in the game, whether it's the you know, scouts or, you know, players, general managers, what have you. But just I think there's a lot of great people in the game, a lot of great characters, particularly from the scouts' point of view. But I love getting there early and, you know, sitting there and talking to players before the game, scouts before dinner time, you know, the umpires. But that's what makes it so special. Not, you know, I don't get a kick watching the games on TV. I get a kick of being there and talking to people before and after games.
Absolutely. Bob, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your time very much. I know you're always busy, and to carve out a few minutes for us was valuable. Thank you.
Oh, sure. My pleasure. Thank you.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, one of the best in the business. It was great to talk baseball with someone who's so good at writing about it and so passionate about it as well. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Who has the number one brand
2 years in a row?
It's Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia.
Sunbury Motors Kia has the highest ranked large car, compact car, small SUV, midsize SUV, and compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality according to J.D. Powers. See for yourself at SMC. The 2017 Kia Soul starting at $16,998. 2017 all-wheel drive Sorento starting at $24,999. 2017 Fortes as low as $15,997. Or Kia's new 50 MPG CUV, the 2017 Niro starting at $22,879. With 60 new Kias to choose from, all clearly sale price, and backed by Kia's 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty, there's a lot to celebrate. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotorskia.com.
Tax extra. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com. For J.D. Power 2017 U.S. initial quality study, visit jdpower.com/cars.
True refreshment can come in many forms. But it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. What was the part that Bob mentioned in that last answer that was so important? And we're getting to the limit as to how far we're going to go, so I didn't want to bring it up at this point, but I'll bring it up now. The last part, how he, instead of watching it on TV, and it's perfectly fine, listen on the radio, watch on TV, whatever connects you, but he loves being at the park. Remember that story, the George Lapidus story I've told a couple of times, right?
Mm-hmm.
About the advice he asked the legendary Red Smith, writer for the New York Times. He met him at Augusta National. He said, look, I'm brand new at doing this. He said, what advice can you give me? And he said, I got two words. Be there. Now, what's not a problem is a guy like Bob Nightingale wants to be there. All those beat writers that cover Penn State football want to be there. They all do. What I'm concerned about is that as time goes and corporations who are running broadcast entities or corporations that are running newspapers or let's just say corporations running media. All right, let's leave it at that. That they don't put, I'm concerned over the next 10, 15 years, how much emphasis they're going to put on reporters being there. You get so much more when you're actually there. A little interaction with some of the players, a little interaction with the coaching staff. Now, background, context. You know, the ability to maybe properly frame a story because you've been around it the entire time. And that's why, you know, having somebody on like Bob Nightingale is so important. Having somebody on like Jack Ham is so important. It's important having the people on that are there every day. Can't become in this realm of talk show. Can't become where you're just sitting in a studio and you're making judgments based on, look, I watched the game last night. I saw it. At least be out there and covering something, which then even in watching TV can give you context as to what you're watching. You know, maybe you're covering minor league baseball, but at least it gives you context as to what and why you're seeing at a major league level in a game. Something. And we need to keep doing that. We need to keep sending reporters to games. We need to keep, like with the Yankees, Sweeney Murty for WFAN covers the Yankees all the time. He's there every day. It makes a difference when he says something. He's got some context behind it. As opposed to sitting in the studio and saying, you know, I watched last night's game, and this is what I think. You know, you got to have contact with some people. You got to be able to talk to them. You got to be able to find out what works. We had Adam Haseley on the show. mean, how much did all of you as fans learn about Adam Haseley by listening to Adam Haseley? And then I, as a reporter, because I've now talked to him, when I do a game broadcast involving him, and I've now done, oh, I don't know how many, I've done five or six of Adam's games now. Some of the elements that I talked to him about in listening to his answers, I incorporated into my broadcast because I felt I knew him so much better. Gave me context as to the athlete I'm dealing with. And Bob Nightingale's out there all the time talking with people, talking with Terry Francona, you know, talking with Joe Maddon, talking with Justin Verlander, talking with John Lester, and not just getting a text from an agent saying, I think we're going to be dealt. And I think that's important. I don't want to lose that. And I felt in the ESPN layoffs, all I looked at was one person with journalistic chops after another kept getting the axe. The people that actually had those connections, a Jason Stark, an Andy Katz, a John Clayton, a Dana O'Neill. See where I'm going here, Sean? This, you know, and what did Fox do? Fox, we're going to do video now. They cut 20 writers off their staff. The guys like Dieter Kurtenbach, for example, that are actually out there at games and connected to the coaches and the athletes as that bridge between fan and game. I hope we're not losing that with our media. Because it's, believe me, it is not the reporters that don't want to be there. Any reporter worth their salt wants to be there. Any reporter does. My question is whether they're going to be allowed to be there. Now, there are people, obviously, in this business that do talk show work. I'm not so sure they want to be there. I think they just like being in here.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I don't think Kevin should have written that letter. Oh, sorry. Talk about Kevin Herr. I mean, don't you feel internally you at least should be loyal? Don't you think so, Sean? Doggone Suits now writing letters to Lawrence. Come on.
I think they talk to each other on the phone quite a bit, and while they're in the building at the same time, it's like you're just around the corner from each other. Stop in.
Face that would entail, well, that would entail walking. All right. That would entail movement. All right. Let's. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, Imports Domestics Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, and some great specials at Brewers Outlet. Between now and Tuesday, including Yingling Lager and Lager Light 24-pack cans, $14.95. Moosehead 12-pack bottles, just $10.99. Rolling Rock 7-ounce 24-pack bottles, just $13.95. They also have water, wine coolers, soft drink snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. The pickle bar is second to none, led by the Dills and the Barrels. And I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And joining us from the JMP Mobile Studio is Kevin Jones.
Yes, we closed the other studio. It's now no longer a Jones studio. So
there you go.
Signed a lease and gone. So now I had dog duty today, because Claire's gone for the day, and I go over and rough, you know, I can walk over, but I took my truck instead, and yeah, I forgot to shut the alarm off, so now the alarm goes off in the house, so then, okay, shut the alarm off, the phone rings, it's a security company, I know the code. And they say, can I have your name, please? And I give them my name. I hear silence. I hang up. I hear sirens. The police show up. It's like, holy crap. The dog bites the cop. So I'm like, Yodi, stop. He goes, Yodi, what the heck kind of Dave is that? I said, look at him. a little chihuahua, you know. Quite an exciting afternoon. Of course, I called Claire, where she was, to tell her that there's an intruder in the house. So now I'm like, oh boy, that didn't go well. But they got their snack, and I left. But the stupid thing was, because they had their hands on their guns when they came up to the door, because I just finished moving, and I left the door of my truck open when I got there. I just hopped out and ran in. Well, in the back of the truck are two of Dad's rifle holders.
Yeah.
So, but they're empty. So they think I got a rifle inside the house. So it was exciting. But then they knew me, so it was cool. So that's all I got, man.
This is what it was like for me growing up.
Stuff remember like this when I peed in the closet.
Oh, I believe me. I remember that night like it was yesterday.
I got up, Sean. He goes, "You know, you peed in the closet last night." Why? I don't remember how I got here.
Because I almost ran over you in the driveway.
Oh, that's right, because they pushed me out of the car.
Yeah.
And the good old days.
I had
now
just
that
driven,
house is gone.
I had just driven back 6 hours. I mean, that's why I was just pulling in after I'd gone to class that day at Penn State, and I drove back. It was a Friday night. And I'm going to pull into the driveway. Oh, good, I'm finally home. And there's this lump at the end of the driveway. I thought at first it was a garbage bag until it moved.
Way to talk.
Yes, they got me to my room and I peed in the closet.
Yeah. Yes, I was the one that got you there.
Yeah. I never said thank you. Thank you.
I feel like Sean, we've had a moment.
Can you imagine we would have brought that up back on June 10th?
Yeah, sorry about the time I went to the grocery store and made a salad. I went to the salad bar, I grabbed my courtesy basket, and, you know, I got my salad, and I'm walking along, I got some water, and I'm looking down, and I made the freaking salad in the courtesy basket. Like, uh-oh. I got to get out of here now. How do they weigh the salad? I put it down and left the store. I said, oh, boy, isn't that good?
I'm starting to have my doubts here.
I quit drinking.
Thank goodness. If that wouldn't have led you in that direction, other things would have.
They got bowls you could put the salad in. So. Oh,
there was a guy one time in Los Angeles, true story, an all-you-can-eat salad bar, and he literally pulled a chair up in front of the salad bar and just started eating.
Wow.
And they had to call the police to try and get rid of him. And he looked over, he said, the sign says all you can eat. They said, well, they didn't mean here. He said, well, I don't know, you tell me what it means.
She's right.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Based on signage, yes. Unreal. Oh, well.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, I'm glad you have standards.
I would not do that either at a salad bar. Now.
Nobody does that. Nobody does that.
No.
All right.
Well,
you'd
get full after a while, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You
know?
Yeah, I know I would.
I had the good old days.
What are you
gonna
do?
A lot of memories. So.
What are you going to do next week when there's no segment next week?
There's no segment?
No, I'm going on vacation.
What are you going to do? Where are you going to? Don't go to David Street. company's here. Come in to spend the night. Hi, hi.
No, I'm going to Cape Cod for the week.
Wow, you're driving straight there, or you're stopping here?
No, I'm stopping at a Marriott in Connecticut, so I'll stay overnight.
Yeah, it's kind of weird not having the house anymore, huh?
So. But that's fine. I'm going to go to Danbury and stay there, which is fine. I've got so many points that I got a free night, so I'm using it.
Yeah. Well, the Marriott's better than David Street anyway, so.
Well, probably. just glad to have a chance to do it. So what do we got here? Let's see. Got enough to do a quick. Now, football season's about to start, mm-hmm. So we're going to have a lot to talk about here pretty soon.
I have kind of a timely trivia question I can kick out.
Yeah.
And it has something to do with Hugh Freeze, who, of course, announced his resignation last night. Okay, forced to resign. Now, with Hugh Freeze gone, name the two active coaches who have beaten Nick Saban more than once. Two active coaches who have beaten Nick Saban more than once.
Let's see. Urban Meyer.
That is one.
And let's see.
Two active coaches that have beaten Nick Saban more than once.
Brett Bielema.
Not right.
Oh, okay. I was trying to think of it was Barry Alvarez that beat him when he was at Michigan State. So I was trying to do a Wisconsin-Michigan State thing.
I was going
to
say when he was in the Big Ten. Yeah,
in Michigan State, because, I mean, he was beaten here with regularity.
Paterno.
Yeah, but he said active.
Oh, active. Yep. Okay.
Active.
Two active coaches.
Let's see. Urban's one. And... Well, it's not Dabo Swinney. He's only beaten him once, right?
Correct. Dabo's once.
Yeah, one time.
Well, it's hard because they're kind of detached from college football here. Oh,
yeah.
Boy.
Kevin Sumlin.
How about the kid for Texas A&M?
Yeah, Kevin Sumlin.
Kevin Sumlin only has beaten him one time as well.
One time. Well...
Auburn?
Gus Malzahn also has only beaten him.
Beaten him once.
Yes.
Yeah. Only beaten him one time.
A great guess.
Well, it's not like
he first took...
Go ahead.
The guy who took over for...
How about Les Miles?
He's not active, LSU.
Not active.
Right.
Not active, though.
No, the guy who took over for Les Miles.
Ed Orgeron?
Not Ed.
Yeah.
No.
Nah, he went 10-25 at Ole Miss.
I'm glad you brought Les Miles up. I got a thought on that in a second. Anyway, the other one is Mark Richt.
Oh, Mark Richt. Okay, when he was at Georgia.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, he's at Miami now.
But no, you brought up Les Miles. I mean, when the whole Hugh Freeze thing blew up last night, for some reason, the first coach I thought of who could take over at Ole Miss could be Les Miles. But then I kind of backpedaled a little bit, thinking, no, why would he want to go in and clean up the mess?
That's a hard mess to clean up, to be honest with you, because they are in a very hard spot right now. And here's the hard spot they're in. They fired him for personal reasons because he used a company phone to call escort services. But they're going to have to go before the NCAA on other issues and have to defend Hugh Freeze to keep the damage to a minimum on sanctions. That's an interesting spot to be in. You have to defend the guy you fired.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got one. Who's the youngest winner of a ladies' title in the open era tennis?
Tracy Austin.
Ladies' singles title in the open era.
Tracy Austin?
Nope.
Martina Hingis.
Yes.
Yes. And she just
Who
won
it.
No, that was Steve. Martina Hingis just won another mixed doubles championship at Wimbledon last
year. Did she really?
Yeah, she's still
mixed
kicking.
Doubles title.
Yeah.
Yep, mixed doubles title.
Still going.
She amazes me. She's the one who got stabbed. Remember that?
It was Monica Seles did.
As Monica Seles.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Well, yeah, Monica Seles did.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. She dated Martina Hingis at one point, actually dated Sergio Garcia. At one point.
Oh, yeah. She was dating him when he was playing here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, who's winning the Open right now?
Jordan Spieth. Two shots
Is
better
he still
than Matt Kuchar.
Lead?
Yep, 6 under par. He shot a 69. He's still up two shots.
Wow. I am psyched. Sunday, I am there.
Yeah, Sunday morning, I'll be watching.
Yep.
Definitely. I've watched the last two mornings. One thing I do like about the Open Championship, you can wake up and flip on the TV at 7 o'clock in the morning. You're watching live golf. I like that.
Yep. This is good golf.
Yeah, it is good
Best
golf. Great course.
In the world.
Yeah, everything. It's terrific. Right. Guess I need to come up with one. Let's see. The Yankees have retired number 8 for two players. Who are the two players?
Yogi Berra.
Yep.
Roy Campanella.
No, he played for the Dodgers.
Wow. I don't know.
Roy White was number 6.
Yes, he was. Kevin's favorites.
Oh, here you go. Thurman Munson.
Thurman was 15. In fact, the Yankees are out of single-digit numbers now. They've retired them.
Yeah, I know. I should know this.
This goes way. This goes way back, though.
Mm.
It's Bill Dickey. Bill Dickey.
I wouldn't have got that.
Interesting part is they're both catchers.
Huh. I loved Yogi. He was so good. All right, you're up, Sean.
I'm out. I just had the one.
Oh. Who was the only wild card entrant to have won Wimbledon?
Boris Becker.
Negative.
What?
No. Yeah.
I thought he was.
Was he a wild card entrant?
I thought he was.
No.
Now, was he 15 or 17 when he won? He was 17, right?
17, yeah.
Goran Ivanišević.
Ivanišević.
Goran Ivanišević.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
Lost in translation.
I thought that's what I said. I thought that's what I said.
That's a good answer, though. Boris Becker.
Yeah.
Real good.
Yeah, we thought so. That's why we said it.
You're probably right, because when I come up with questions, you know, I'm wrong half the time. Who beat Ivan Lendl in a French Open final using underhand serve?
Michael Chang.
That's correct.
Attaboy. I knew you right on the ball.
That was 89, I think, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't say.
Nah, speaking of Boris Becker, I guess once he was done with tennis, he started to get into poker.
Yes, not good.
Yeah.
He lost all his money?
Well, that got me thinking, I was watching the World Series of Poker last night on ESPN, and there's a guy from Altoona that made it to the final table.
I know that.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. At one point, I thought he was going to... He got pulled in on an all-in. He was on the rails. I thought he was going to get... He actually dodged 15 out cards to stay alive, and at one point he moved up to third place at one point last night. That was about 11 o'clock. His name is Dan Ott.
Wow.
So
were they playing?
Out in Vegas at the World Series of Poker. Yeah, the main world table, the big one where you get the bracelet. I think the money this year is something like, what, $8 million? Something like that.
Wow.
Could be more than 8 or 9 million to one guy.
Wow.
It's insane. This is the first time that they're running it live on ESPN. They're doing it in like 3-hour chunks. It used to be they would put on tape delay and you have to wait till like November to watch it.
But to see, this is easy programming for them. This doesn't cost them any money. I mean, I'm talking about real money to do it. You set up, it's confined. You set up a few cameras. You got a mini truck, a couple of announcers that you're just boom, 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 paying a little per diem to. I mean, for them, it's relatively cheap programming that they perceive as being interesting.
I thought they ran OJ all day yesterday.
Oh, they did that. They did a lot of that.
I can't believe that guy. He looks good.
Well, a loser, huh?
What's he over under on when he goes back to prison?
Boy.
Three days.
Well, they were betting on the parole. So.
Well, they did. They actually, you could place overseas. Overseas, you could place bets on whether he got parole or not.
Really?
And you could do it on the internet. Yes.
Well,
you know what? Technically, let's do as a technicality. Technically, you know, he checked all the boxes, including the one that said he didn't have any priors. Have you been convicted of anything?
Did you hear this comment? It was weird. I've always led a good life. You know, I've always, it's like, oh my God, you slaughtered your wife. I mean, you know, but other than that, it's been pretty clean.
It was, it's surreal listening to him to talk as if that never happened. And of course, since he was found, quote, not guilty in the legal system, I guess he's entitled to speak that way. I'm making no judgments here. I mean, but it, the whole thing is, and needless to say, CBS, ABC, Headline News, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and ESPN, I'm sure got gigantic ratings for carrying that yesterday. And it was interesting was that walking down the hallway, you know, interns were not alive when the trial even took place, or were maybe 1 or 2 years old. All of them were sitting around the TV yesterday, captivated by it. Now, maybe some of that has to do with the fame of it. Maybe that has to do with the fact that the O.J. Made in America series, which was a popular watch and won the Academy Awards, going to win the Emmy Award. And that FX series, that 10-part FX series on it.
That was good, too. Yep.
Right? With Courtney Vance, John Travolta, David Schwimmer, Cuba Gooding Jr. See, I think those have both popped up in the last year, which brought it all back into play. And young people watched it, I guess, in droves yesterday, along with people our age.
Does anybody work?
How can you watch it
if you go to work? I got a guy here, right? You can't make this up. He quit. I'm down to two people. He goes to Pratt & Whitney and applies for a job. This guy, like, can't write, like, he writes here, H-E-A-R, to say I'm here. He writes, you know, he doesn't know the difference between the two words. Right. Pratt & Whitney's starting him at $75,000 a year. He makes more than a school teacher. I don't understand what's going on, you know? I mean, I can't pay him that. I can barely pay him half that. So I just say, God bless you, go, you know?
Right.
But that's what United Technologies is doing, though. Crazy.
People come
to Connecticut to get a job at Pratt & Whitney, you'll make a fortune.
Well, I know that for the last half hour we thought we were working, so.
Yeah, I thought we were. And we had a lot of fun doing it.
Well, have a great weekend.
You have an awesome vacation. You are deserving of that, so have an awesome...
Oh, yeah. I'm out here throwing heavy innings every day.
Watch out for dorsal fins. No dorsal fins. Cape Cod, lots of sharks.
I didn't say I was going in.
You're on the golf course, the Tommy Bahama shirt, chilling, hitting them long and straight. That's the plan, right?
Oh, within the next 48 hours, I will be at Bass River Golf Club.
There you go.
Remember when we golfed in the fog there?
Oh, we Highland Golf Course, Truro.
Yeah.
And we, you know what? And Kevin and I, we played nine holes in the fog. In the fog.
Yeah.
We didn't lose a ball.
Nice.
Didn't lose a ball.
Never hit it.
So was this like Eagles Bears playoff fog game in Chicago?
Yes.
That bad?
That bad.
Oh, it was sick. Thick enough that we remember it. So.
Yeah.
That was fun, though.
That was fun, and that was a vacation where our grandparents from New York actually brought a camper and actually spent part of the vacation with us.
Yep.
That's the one time they did that. I'll never forget that.
That was good times, really good times.
All right, 2 weeks, we shall talk.
You betcha.
Okay, guys, so I'm not on for 2 weeks?
No, you're not on next week.
Okay.
So, August 4th, you'll be back. I'll be back on the 31st.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.